There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. This is a special standalone interview podcast number 662, September 4th. 2014, and Nasser, I want you to step into the studios and introduce these fine interviews, and of course, one of them is with the president of F1 Weekly European Operations.
Okay, folks, this is a special talk edition of F1 Weekly. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Inam Ahmed and his father, Shami. We met at Oschersleben a few weeks ago, and Inam, who was in his fifth year of karting, was racing in the German Championship. He was on the podium in the pre-final and the final ahead of Mick Jr., who happens to be Michael Schumacher's young, talented kid. And Inam is now leading, well, actually extended his lead in the German Championship, and he's also leading the FIA CIK European Championship. So things are looking very good for him and also very fast. And hopefully we will meet again in Las Vegas at the SCUSA National event, which he also attended a couple of years ago. Our second talk is with Mr. Peter Brazier. We met at London while I was on my way to K-Town, and this conversation took place at the very historic Brooklands Racing Circuit and Museum, which is a fantastic place to go. This is probably one of the first oval tracks built in the world, and now a certain small portion is still there, preserved. And Stirling Moss went to this track as a kid. So that's how far this thing goes. So we had a great time there. And I hope folks enjoy both these chit-chat. And my thanks again to Peter Brazier and Mr. Inam Ahmed. Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'm here in Oschersleben with our young friend, Mr. Inam Ahmed. Fantastic weekend for you this weekend. Tell us a little bit about the activities here in Oschersleben.
Well, for starters, I came to the weekend on the back foot because my teammates and everyone had tested on the Wednesday, so they got to learn the track, and I had to learn the track on the Friday when I came on the practice. But it's a fairly straightforward track. There's not many corners, so I got scripted it fairly quickly. Qualified very good. Qualified second overall. I didn't really expect that. David Beckman qualified in front of me. And that means I started pole for one and second for another heat. First heat I finished second, and second heat I finished fifth. The one where I finished fifth, unfortunately, all the water leaks out of my radiator, so my engine was overheating quite a lot. So it made things quite difficult. And then today on Sunday, started fourth for final one. Had a decent start again. Finished third. It was quite a hard race car to battle with Mick Jr., but edged my way forward to finish third. I wanted to stay there because that's a good place to start. And then second final, got third. In the first lap, got into second, and then overtook my teammate Max on the third lap. Was in the lead for a couple, but Joan Correa overtook me. I think he was slightly quicker than me, and he just edged away. But then the gap was the same for the whole race. And it was quite a hard race because I also had David Beckman behind me to keep him behind. But it was a good race because I got good points out of both finals.
Now, you mentioned Mick Jr., that is Michael Schumacher's son. How good is he?
Yeah, he's a very good driver. Obviously, he's been brought up well. He's fast, good, consistent, and he races well, but, he's a hard competitor.
That's good. I wonder where he got that from. Okay, you are also, you have also increased the championship lead here in German series, and you're also leading the European Championship, and I understand there's only one round to go. So what's the game plan for that event?
go out and win it, because then I put all my energy into that one race, and if I win it, then I win the championship. But I don't want to focus too much on points and where I have to finish, because I've done that in one of the championships and I nearly lost it. So I'm just going to go out with the attitude to win it like I did in the WSK, and it worked fine for me.
You've been a busy man as far as racing on the track is concerned. How many races do you think you will end up doing this year?
I think this was race number 11 for me, and probably four or five more races.
So what will be the total count when the season is over?
16 races.
Now, Rob Wilson is a very famous, advanced level racing coach. You spent some time with him. Tell us a little bit about working with him.
Obviously, I worked with him at the end of last year, doing some things with him in Bruntingthorpe Airfield with the car. But he's a great driver coach. There's a lot to learn from him, because obviously he's had years and years and years of experience. But he's a great man to learn off. He has a lot of history behind him, and I learned a few good things from him, how to drive a car as fast as possible.
Okay, in the recent past, you've done some testing in a Ginetta car. How did that go, and how was the experience of driving a racing car compared to a go-kart?
Well, I'm doing Ginetta, and I'm being looked after by Phil Glue for Edge. And it's a good little car to start off with, because obviously for single-seater, you have to... It gets quite expensive, so to learn the track signaling, it's a good car to learn. We're not going to spend too much time in it, maybe race it, we're not quite sure yet, but I'm just focusing on my casting at the moment.
Okay. Now, you're a forward-thinking kind of guy, I can tell. Next year you're turning 15, and recently it was announced 15-year-old can... what are your game plans for the future?
Well, next year I might race KF2 in another year in karting, not quite sure yet, but I think that's the main plan as far as it goes. I want to race against obviously the older guys, but we'll see how it goes. I'm just trying to focus on this year and finish it off.
Among the, you've been racing for like 5 years. Who are some of the drivers you think that are very, very good, above average?
Well, my teammates, for one, they're all very, very good drivers. They're hard people to race against, like Max, Logan. They're all very, very good drivers, very consistent. Daniel Tickton, who's in Zanardi, Straka Racing. I've raced him for the last 4 or 5 years. He's a very, very good driver. He's a very hard racer. Mick Jr. is very good. Also, Randy's very good. A lot of the drivers in the top 10 are all very, very good drivers.
What's your favorite go-kart track?
I'd say I don't have a particular favorite. I have about five. I'd say top five. I like five.
Sure. Okay. Let's hear the names, please.
Right. Ampfing in Germany, La Conca in Italy, Glanigors in Wales in England, and then Baxdorf is a very good track, and also Castelletto is very good. That's about it, actually.
Now, Formula One season will be starting, second half will be starting soon. Tremendous battle between two teammates. Who would you like to see win the championship?
I'd like to see Lewis win it. I really like Lewis, obviously, because he's British and he's very good in karting. But I'd like to see him win it, but I'd like to see him work hard for it. And then then it looks good.
Yeah. Okay, finally, how about a message for listeners of F1 Weekly, please?
Sorry?
Message for listeners, please.
Make sure you tune in to watch me on YouTube and the German Karting Championship for KF Junior, and also keep track of the European Karting Championship and the World Karting Championship, which will be coming up just one race in September.
Thank you very much, sir, and all the best.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Okay, folks, we are here at Historical Brooklands Museum, and the history of this track predates the history of Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and this is the track where Stirling Moss came as a kid to watch motor racing. And I'm joined now with the Chief Executive Officer of F1 Weekly's European operation, the one and only Mr. Peter Brazier. Peter, good to see you again. How are you, sir?
Nice to see you, Nazir. I'm great, thank you very much.
Now, obviously, we're having a fantastic Grand Prix season. We are now in the off season, and we would like to have some questions for you on what you like so far, what you don't. Obviously, a lot was said very loudly about the noise of racing cars. You have been to the British Grand Prix. Let's talk about how much noise you want to make about the noise.
I don't want to make too much noise about the noise. I don't think it's that big an issue. I think they sound better than they did before. The last few years of these high revving engines, they just sounded like model aircraft engines to me. They were just a high pitched whine. You had to wear hearing protection. You don't have to do that now. It's a much lower throatier note, which is nicer. It's not as visceral as you get with the old full DFVs and that kind of noise, but it's I think way too much is being said about the noise.
So they don't need to bring speakers to the exhaust?
I think a subwoofer might help a bit, but no. It's not a big issue as everybody's making out. It's not detracting from the racing at all.
Okay, going to the start of the season, you know, we are coming into a new era, turbocharging. Sebastian Vettel had gone 4 in a row, and we were at the Belgian Grand Prix last year. He won that race, and he won all the remaining races. What is going on with him, with the turbos? Give us a little a brazier report on the season so far.
Well, the season so far has been one of surprise, I think. It's been fantastic. I think it's the best season, first half of the season ever, that I can recall. I use the word surprise. There's been so many surprises. The Merck versus Renault. Everybody thought the Renault engines would be the ones to beat. That they were the ones with the turbo experience. Turns out Mercedes is leaps and bounds better. And there's been lots of driver surprises too. Where do we start? Daniel Ricciardo. Just utterly amazing that he's just consistently, it's not a flash in the pan, he's consistently shown Sebastian Vettel up. It's incredible. Also Kimi Raikkonen, what's happened there? We thought he'd give Fernando a little run for his money. Absolutely hasn't even troubled Fernando in any race or any session really. Who else is surprised? Of course, championship leader Nico Rosberg. People thought he would have trouble even keeping up with Lewis, but there he is halfway through the season and he's leading the championship.
What do you think is the key to Mercedes' success this year? A lot of talk is being made about the split turbo, and you're an engineer by trade. Can you give us an update? Can you be the tech talk for this podcast?
Well, I'll leave the real technical stuff to Tim, but yeah, it's fascinating, those that like a bit of engineering. This split turbo concept, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, that's obvious. Why didn't everybody think of that? The whole idea of keeping the two parts apart, the hot bit at one end and the cold bit at the other, and then that affects the whole packaging of the car. It just seems so obvious, but only Mercedes did it, and they appear to have done it just about right. So it's given them the head start that they needed.
Well, you know, that's what everybody thought about when Renault came into Formula One originally with turbocharging. How come nobody else did? And then we saw that double diffuser thing with Braun also. The question I have for you on this split turbo thing, is that only with the Mercedes engine, with the Mercedes F1 team, or is that with Williams and other people also using Mercedes engine like McLaren?
They all have the split, all the Mercedes engines have the split turbo. My understanding is the Mercedes team had a lot more time to develop the car package around that concept. So they were able to package the radiators better, put them in a better position, keep the profile of the side pods right, and all that sort of stuff. So obviously, being the works team, it's their own engine, they were able to fine-tune it, and the results show on track.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned both the team and the engines are built in jolly old England.
Well, of course.
And where?
In the engines are made near Northampton. at what used to be Ilmor, of course. It's now Mercedes High Performance, and the cars are built in Brackley. Nazir just had to remind me. It's half an hour from where I live, but so English engines, English car, of course.
Very good. And one English driver, too. Okay, before we talk about drivers, I want to get a little bit more technical stuff. With these engine freeze rules and this and that, what can Renault and Ferrari do as far as the engine is concerned? Well, Ferrari, they've already blown out Luca Marmorini, who has now gone to Renault, ironically. But what can they really do while staying within the rules and regulations?
I'm not exactly sure what the rules and regulations limit them. I know they can make certain changes, especially on reliability issues, but my understanding is that they're both Renault and Ferrari are working on the split turbo concept, so there must be a way of them being able to get that homologated into next year's regulations.
Okay, going to drivers, we'll start with the defending world champion, Mr. Sebastian Vettel, man who could not do it wrong for the last 4 years, especially in the eyes of Dr. Marco and Christian Horner. Are you surprised that he is, no way on earth he's going to be five in a row, but he's also totally outclassed. I shouldn't say totally outclassed, but Cage has been rattled by an Aussie mate, and even though Daniel Ricciardo has a smile that goes all the way back to Perth, it's Mark Webber who's really doing the laughing. Are you really surprised by what has happened at the driver situation at Red Bull?
Yeah, absolutely stunned by it, and I think it's great to see someone like Daniel Ricciardo doing what he's been doing, and I would say Sebastian's been totally outclassed. He's been on the podium a couple of times, I think, whereas Daniel's run 1-2 races and been on the podium three or four, I'm just looking at my notes now, four times. So that's outclassed by any measure. If it had been the other way round, everybody would have said, well, okay, that's it. But the fact that it's this way round, it's just incredible. And it's great for the show as well.
Do you think Sebastian Vettel will jump ship at the end of the season?
I doubt it, but where could he possibly go? He's not going to go to Ferrari. The only place that it would make sense for him to go is to Mercedes, and I don't think there's a spare seat there right now.
And talking of Mercedes, some years ago, Jenson Button went to McLaren, and everybody thought, myself included, that LCH will eat him alive. Obviously, it was not that way. Are you surprised how Nico Rosberg has really taken take care of business despite having LCH as his teammate?
Yes, and pleasantly surprised. I thought he would struggle. We knew he was a reasonably good driver, and it proves now that when he was racing against Schumacher, it wasn't Schumacher being too old and past it, but actually it was Nico Rosberg is up there with them. We're at halfway stage, he's leading by a handful of points, and it's provided us with some great racing.
Yeah, well, what really surprises me about him, every time I see him, and having followed the career of his papa, Keke Rosberg, Keke was a real gunslinger kind of guy from Tombstone, Arizona, a very aggressive driver, and the kid has the talent, but looks like in his demeanor and his driving style, very different.
Yeah, absolutely. Chalk and cheese, really.
Okay, now, LCH and Nico Rosberg, these are the two people who are going to battle it out. Right now, advantage Rosberg. How do you think the rest of the season is going to pan out?
I think you could toss a coin, really. I think if neither driver had good or bad luck, but it was just straight fights, probably Lewis would have won two-thirds, perhaps even three-quarters of those races, but there's always luck, good luck, bad luck. Some of it you make, some of it comes your way, and more of the bad luck's gone Lewis's way, and good luck's gone Nico's way. But it's giving us a great season. If one of them was just streaming ahead, it would be very boring for us indeed. It's great to see midfield and battles for the third podium step, but it isn't enough sometimes.
Do you think they're going to have their own private Suzuka in the last three or four races? So far they've been pretty clean, at least in terms of physical contact on the track. Do you think it will stay that way?
Of course not. No. Something's going to happen.
It'll be interesting to see whose side Toto Wolff will take, and Niki Lauda also. Okay, let's talk about some surprises. We talked about Ricardo. Rosberg is doing tremendous. Rookies, Daniel Kvyat, fantastic job. Your thoughts on the Russian rocket? And no pun intended there.
No, he's been going very, very well, hasn't he? He's got a good handful of points, and he's showing well against his teammates. So, one to watch for the future.
Valtteri Bottas has done a tremendous job for Williams. Do you think Massa will survive Williams after this season?
He's had a lot of bad luck this year. When he's made it to the end, he's been racing reasonably well, but most certainly Bottas has been showing him up. And what a great job Williams have been doing. I mean, they've made good use of that Mercedes engine, and it's just great to see them up on the podium again. I'm sure they'll get a win before the end of the year.
Okay, you were very complimentary to JB a little earlier. I'm sorry, to LCH. What do you have to say on JB? Is he going to survive this season? Apparently Honda is coming back. They want a guy who's muy macho, could be Spania, could be Alemania. Your thoughts on JB at McLaren at the end of the season?
I'd like to see him go into the Honda, because obviously I'm a fan, but I'd like to see him go into the Honda era. It's going to take him a couple of years to get that Honda engine mounted properly in the McLaren. So unless they do a Brawn and luck into having the package right from day one, I don't think Jensen's going to get another chance at a championship, which is a shame, but there you go.
Okay, and K-Mag, Kevin Magnussen, first Grand Prix of his life, he's on the podium. You think he's on slippery slope, like some of the media is suggesting?
Yeah, he hasn't, apart from that second place in Australia, he hasn't got anywhere close to the podium in the rest of the races, and Jensen is leading him by a good number of points. So he hasn't shone as well as some had predicted, but it's still early. He could step up to the plate more, but there we'll see.
Okay, I want to ask you about a comment you made over a cup of tea before we started this conversation, and that was, and many people will agree with you, that Fernando Alonso is probably the greatest driver of all time. Explain that, please. Of course, Clark Rogers does not need any explanation, no. But other people might.
I just think this season has yet again proved that he can do things with a car that the car shouldn't do. And that's one of these classic signs of an exceptionally good driver. He's just, since his mistakes of 2007, he's been at the wrong place at the wrong time, as far as getting a good car. But boy, he can drive. It's so consistent. Every single race, he's there, somewhere, better than the car should be. He's probably being flattered by Kimi's seriously lackluster performance this year. But nevertheless, he's just great to watch.
Heads are rolling at Ferrari since Marco Mattiacci came to the show in town. Do you think one of those heads could be finished at the end of the season?
Almost certainly. A bit, perhaps before the end of the season.
Now, it's a plum seat that many people would do anything to get that seat. Who would you like to see at Ferrari replacing Kimi?
It's going to be Jules Bianchi, isn't it? Possibly. Who else is in the Ferrari driver development?
No, we're not talking about their development program. who would you like to see, like a Romain Grosjean or a Hülkenberg or a Sergio Perez among the guys who are floating around have race-winning potential?
I think Hülkenberg needs a decent car, but we're talking about Ferrari here. I'd love to see Hülkenberg in one of the front-running cars, because I think he'd be doing a Daniel Ricciardo.
Okay, talking of Daniel Ricciardo, he is the new winner this year. Do you think we'll see another new winner, first-time winner in Formula One this year?
I just said I think Valtteri Bottas could be that one, if circumstances are right. I mean, he's constantly on the podium, 2 second places. It's only going to take a small slip from one of the Mercedes boys, perhaps into each other, and the race will be his for the taking.
Okay, as we all know, one or two more teams will be coming into Formula One in the next few years, and one of them is history repeating itself from Charlotte, North Carolina, albeit with a different team owner. Do you see any scope of our racing team based across the pond being able to survive in the environment we are in now?
History says no, doesn't it? And I think history will repeat itself. It appears to be an incredibly difficult thing to do. Caterham haven't been able to do it. In fact, all the newbies are really struggling. Marussia appears to be doing a little bit better, but you know, it's no one's done it in modern history. Started up a team from scratch and made it successful. So, but time will tell. I mean, I hope they make a good go of it, and I hope they're there, and I hope they're more competitive than Caterham have been. So, we'll see.
As you know, at F1 Weekly, we also cover or try to cover other series, you know, feeder series. One young kid who's doing a tremendous job, and already Red Bull and McLaren are talking to him, Mercedes, I should say. Jos Verstappen's kid, Max Verstappen, 7 victories in his rookie season of motor racing. What's your thought on this talent, and do you think he's ready for GP2 in his second year of motor racing?
I think Max appears to be an exceptional talent, and we'll have to wait and see who grabs him and who brings him along. I'm always very cautious about these young drivers, because it's a lot of them do very, very well in the junior formulas and get to Formula One and fail miserably. Obviously, I don't know, it's a small percentage that get to Formula One and do well, do a Daniel Ricciardo.
Joe Seward is a very well-respected, very famous English motor racing journalist whose work I enjoy very much. The man has tremendous knowledge of motor racing. He recently, on his blog, said that he's questioned the wisdom of going to the Grand Prix in Sochi. Obviously, you know, there's politics here and there and everywhere. What's your take on that comment?
I think sport and politics should be completely disconnected. It's got nothing to do with it. If it's safe to go there, they should go there, and there should be no connection between it. Simple as that.
Okay. Any prediction? Lewis or Nico as world champion for 2014?
I think Nico will do it. I don't think Lewis is in the right mindset at the moment, especially given the back end of the season. He had that run of 4 wins, and he's had some bad luck and some not bad attitude, wrong attitude. So I don't know, but either of them could flip, and those. Perhaps if they do run into each other, one of them will come out in the better mindset. It's going to be a question of how Mr. Wolf handles it.
Great, sir. I appreciate your time and your feedback. Any message for members of F1 Weekly Familia, please?
Well, I've said it before and I'll say it again. What a fantastic familia. It really enhances my enjoyment of the sport. Having the forum to go on and people on there to chat to, being able to meet people like you and come to the glorious banking at Brooklands. We're currently sitting here in the car park of the Brooklands Museum. We're overlooking Mercedes-Benz World, and there's a bunch of AMGs rolling around on a skid pan. F1 Weekly Familiar allows me to do things like this. Thank you.
And thank you very much, and my personal thanks to everybody also. One of the greatest things for me has been to go around and meet people, and met you, Dr. Farrington, and Dr. Miguel in Portugal, and Leo in Brazil, and hopefully one of these days I'll be in the land down under and, you know, have some Roo Burgers with our family members there also. So thanks a lot to everybody, and enjoy the off-season. And
Spa's coming!
Spa is coming, baby! Ciao, ciao!